Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello, and welcome back to Spark Radio, or welcome to joining us for the first time, if you've just discovered us. We are heading into spring in the Midwest in the United States. Well, we hope so anyway. At least we had some melting the last couple days, but they're talking more snow coming for us. We still may break that record. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and I'm excited tonight to bring you our segment of Spark Radio. Had some technical problems trying to connect to the three-way conference call prior to coming on the air, so hopefully the information will get to Susan, because I have a wonderful technical person who, if you can call her and give her the number again to call in, we'll be talking with Dr. Susan Dellinger tonight about her wonderful, powerful communication model of psychogeometrics. So, for those of you who listened to the last segment, you know that we talked about the five communication styles of SPARC. I'm sorry, of psychogeometrics, and the strengths of those styles. And you may be hearing some conversation in the background. That's my technical assistant trying to connect with Susan. So I apologize if you're hearing multiple voices. It's not in your head. It's really because you're hearing multiple voices. So stay with us. We hope to bring you Susan in a few minutes. And until then, we talked about the five styles and what those strengths were. If you have questions for Susan, please call 347-215-8390. And that number again, 347-215-8390. And so we talked about the strengths, and we also talked about how to flex and to communicate through your other styles to have win-win communication. So tonight we'll talk with Susan about the background of the model and her recent trip to Dubai and be open to your questions and comments. So please call, please type something into the chat for asking Dr. Susan a question about psychogeometrics. She's a dynamic lady. So we have a 45-minute segment again tonight, which is what we schedule whenever we have a guest joining us. And so I've had a couple questions that people have emailed, and questions that I've had people ask from past conferences or seminars on psychogeometrics. The session I facilitate is Flex Your Communication and Gain Phenomenal Results. And as I said last week, she has a book called Communicating Beyond Our Differences, and that's her book with much more information about each of the five styles and how to flex to those styles. So our fingers are crossed, and oh, there she is, I think. Hi, Susan.
Hi, dear. How are you?
Well, much better now that I hear your voice. How are you?
Oh, just great. Just really looking forward to talking to you and all your listeners today.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being flexible with the joys of technology.
No problem, Melanie. You're my favorite circle, you know.
Oh, thank you so much. And I was just refreshing for my listeners that we talked about the five shapes last time and some of their strengths. But for those who are joining us for the first time, I thought I would let you talk a little bit about those shapes and how you created the model of psychogeometrics, and about what your styles are. Susan.
Oh, goodness. So I have to tell my secrets, Melanie?
Well, not all of them.
To the world here?
Oh, just this little corner of the world.
Oh, this little corner of the world is lovely. I'm from Indiana originally, so I love Midwestern people. But, you know, we have 68 degrees here in Florida tonight.
Oh, my goodness. We still have, a good couple feet of snow.
Do you really?
Yes, we do.
You know, I'd love to see it, but just kind of see it, you know.
Right. Well, maybe I'll send you a picture later.
That's a good idea. Send me a JPEG.
There we go.
Well, to answer your question, I developed the psychogeometric system in 1978. So it's a few years ago. And I developed it because I needed a shortcut way to help my supervisors at GTE, that's General Telephone and Electronics, it is now Verizon. I was a management trainer for them, and I needed to help them understand themselves better and understand their employees. And we had done everything else. We'd done the Myers-Briggs, the Wilson, the DISC, you name it, and they just didn't get it. And I got in the truck with them and put on the hard hat and went out to see, you know, how they lived and what happened, and learned that they had a tough job, no question about that, and worked with the cable splicers and all of that, and thought, there's another way to do this. And in my doctoral work, I had studied the work of Dr. Carl Jung and his archetypes and also symbolicity and symbols in society. So the next seminar, I went up to the chalkboard and just wrote five shapes, the triangle, the circle, and I'd already thought what I was going to do with these, and asked them to pick the shape they thought described them. So they did, and so I explained what they meant, and, you know, I thought, I don't know if this is going to help. Well, I got to tell you, the rest of the day, every break, all through the lunch, all they wanted to know about was, now, what does it mean if I'm a triangle? Now, if I'm a squiggle, am I going to have trouble with the circles? What? All they wanted to do was talk about it. They got it. And they got it for weeks and months after that. And I had just lucked upon, out of necessity, you know, the mother of invention, I had lucked upon something that really worked. And a few years later, I wrote a book on it, and now I have wonderful, wonderful people who use it every day with their families and with their companies and with their work teams. And I have a wonderful group of consultants and specialists, including Melanie Hoffner, who also enjoy it and enjoy bringing it to other people.
That we do, Susan, that we do. It's always good to hear the story of how things began, though, because it gives us another perspective as we look at this particular model. So for those listeners who are joining us for the first time, the five shapes from which they could choose are the box or square, a triangle, rectangle, a circle, and a squiggly line. And they think about which of those five shapes best describes them, and then think about, I would of course encourage them to listen to my last segment, or to get your book, or just to ask you directly. One of the questions as we discussed about getting ready for this interview, Susan, was the evolution of the shapes as we age.
Oh, my,
yeah. Can you elaborate about that?
Yes. You know what I was just thinking, to connect with your radio show, we could say which of those five shapes sparks within you.
Ooh, very nice.
Causes a spark to occur, because people really need to pick the shape that they feel describes them, not something maybe they would wish they were. I have a lot of squiggle wannabes, but something that really, when you say the word box, someone, it resonates within you, and you can say, I'm really a box. Yes, I like the box. It describes me. Or a triangle. And I often tell people kind of feel like you're sitting in that shape. There's a huge triangle and you're sitting in it, and there's a huge rectangle, and now there's a big circle and you're in that, and now there's a squiggly line, you're trying to follow that. Which of those feels like who you really are? And each of them describes a classic personality style, and I kind of stay a little away from personality and call it communication style, because my doctorate's in communication is the reason. But we pick a style, and I'm hoping your listeners are thinking, am I a square, a box? And I call it a box because a square doesn't always has negative connotations sometimes. And am I a triangle, am I a rectangle, am I a circle, am I a squiggle? Once you pick your shape, then there is, of course, a great deal of information about what your tendencies will be and how you will process information in the brain. It's also connected to brain research. If you chose either a box or a triangle or a rectangle, and you may have told them this, Melanie, you will tend to be left hemispheric, very logical, very sequential in your thinking, A, B, C, D, E. If you're a circle or a squiggle, you will tend to be a bit more right brain, a little bit more creative, and you will tend to jump from A to B to F to M. And so you will think and process information a bit differently. There's a great deal more to it. We also do it behaviorally. And we're about to have an online test, by the way, which you know, Melanie.
Yes, and that will be exciting when that's ready to go live. So when it does, I'll be sure to let my listeners know.
Oh, I hope so, because they can go right on the internet and take the test, and they will know instantly what they are. We're very excited about it. We've been working on it all day here in Tampa, Florida.
So fun. People like immediate feedback, don't you know? We're so spoiled about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so once people have identified their style, learned some things about their strengths, we talked about that we have all five styles within us. We just have one that is more comfortable, or that maybe more dominant for us.
Thank you. Yes.
And that, of course, gives way to the concept that makes this model, I think, ultra-powerful, and that's the concept of flexing and being able to communicate through those other styles within us, which leads to stronger win-win communication.
That's really the strength of the whole system. I mean, it's one thing for me to know I'm a squiggle or you're a circle. It's another for me, for you and I both, to be able to communicate with people who are not of our shape. And that's where the real skill comes into play. How do I, as a squiggle, talk to a box? Because I don't think like a box does. But what I have to realize is I have a box within me as well. And what I do is I put aside my squiggle for the moment, and I pull out my box, and I speak through it as if it were a prism to that person.
And it does take more time and thought and energy, because it's not as natural for us. And so it means some planning ahead with our communication, which is very often a good idea, especially when it's either an important communication, a potentially negative communication or conflict, confrontation type of communication. If we can give some pre-thought to that process, then we can have a more successful communication.
And, you know, I think we do that unconsciously. That's very well said, Melanie. I think we do it unconsciously when it's an important event for us, when it's a boss, when it's a spouse, a child. I think we do kind of pre-plan. Well, I'm tired tonight, but I'm just getting in, and my son, you know, has his FCATs this week, and it's a big deal to him. Now I've got to forget my workplace and talk to him and concentrate on him. And what will he need? He'll need my circle tonight. So I need to put away my triangle, which is the boss. I've been the boss all day on the job. And I need to use my circle and be caring and be a good listener.
Do you find that the nonlinear styles, the circle and the squiggle, tend to flex more easily than the linear styles?
I believe the circles do. Not the squiggles. The squiggles could care less.
Well, that's true.
I mean, they are what they are, you know.
Yes.
But the circles, yes. the circles are the only one of the five that actually can move from left to right side of the brain more facilely and cross the corpus callosum and really process on both sides. So they will tend to be, they're the best communicators to begin with. That's why you have a radio show, Melanie.
That's right. Thank you.
And they love communicating. They love talking to people. I hope we have some people call in tonight because you and I, we both have this circle and we love to listen to people and help in any way we can. And if just listening helps, you know. And the circle does, in fact, do that well.
Yes, they do. I did have some emails from people who are not able to listen live to the show, but that listen to the archives regularly.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I will throw those out in a little bit. But I want to go back to that idea of what the evolution of shapes as we age.
Ah, because I think you covered the meaning of the shapes last week, did you not?
Yes.
So they have a good idea of what the meanings are.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, and you will tell them when, they can come to the website and actually take the test so they can know more specifically. But one of the things I discovered, and remember this is from 1978 on, so I've worked with, golly, probably over a million people in 26 countries with psychogeometrics. And I started to think about age and the shapes and started to observe what people would tell me and how, in fact, the shapes would evolve over time. You might be one shape in your 20s, another in your 30s, da-da-da. And or, in the case of particularly boxes, they will often tell me, I'm a box, I've always been a box, I've never been anything but a box, period. So certain shapes tend to kind of stick with what they have chosen early in life. Others will tend to evolve in interesting ways. And in particular, I think the triangle is one that, you know, it's hard to be the boss and to have to be right all the time. The poor triangle. And I think often there's what we call, of course, in the sociological studies, a midlife crisis and a period when we kind of step out of ourselves and say, gee, you know, who am I? What's this about? Is this really what I thought it would be? And the triangle will often go through a rectangular period, a period of change. And oftentimes in the generative period of the 50s and beyond, we'll gravitate more to the circle and to a caring stance and to listening to others and realizing he doesn't have to have all of the answers. It's kind of Olivia Newton-John saying, you don't always have to be right.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. And so many, particularly management jobs, have to have that pressure, and owners of small companies and that sort of thing, and nonprofits, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So any other interesting trends in other shapes as they age?
Well, yes. Interestingly, the reverse happens. The person who's been the circle all of their lives, and I often attach this to women, but I think that may be a little unfair, particularly in today's climate, who have been circles all of their lives, and they've been the caretakers, they've taken care of everybody. They've kind of taken the back seat and let others go first for whatever reason. And goodness, they've taken care of the children. They've taken care of the husband. They've taken care of the parents. And something kind of sparks within them and says, it's my turn. And they kind of often gravitate to a triangle. And all of a sudden, she's not that sweet little thing anymore.
And as we say with the passion test, it's time to say it's my time
mm-hmm.
to pursue my passions and my dreams.
And others who have always depended on that person to make them first, there's a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yes, and it's trying to figure out what's happening to that circle that was so predictable.
Yes.
All those years, and now not understanding what's changed.
Oh, Melanie, you just made such a good point. Predictability is just so comforting, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I mean, we know that Tom is a box, and we know that Joyce is a circle, and we just expect them to always be that. And, you know, we don't always maintain the same shape. Things happen. We change. And it's so hard when someone that is very close to you starts changing, and they start passing through that rectangle. That's the ankh through which we pass when we change.
And that's the period of unpredictability.
Yeah.
Where are they today? We don't know for sure.
And then, see, we try to force them back into that box where they've always been. You know, that's comforting. I know how to deal with him as a box. But suddenly he's being a squiggle. You know, he's wanting to go do this and go on a cruise and buy a Mercedes-Benz and do all these wild things. Well, it's not like him. I mean, what's the matter with him? We better go to a shrink.
Well, yes, instead of supporting the change and allowing them to grow, we want to keep them in their box.
And, of course, the secret to that is communication. You know, sitting down and saying, what's happening to you, John? You know, you seem different. And listening to John rather than arguing with John.
Yes. Or assuming that there's something wrong because this change is happening. And it's not always something wrong.
That's right. And, of course, the more rectangles we pass through, the more interesting people we are. That's my perspective. Because then we've changed many times. We've done many different things. We've been a box. We've been a triangle. We've been a circle. We've been a squiggle. We've tried it all out. And we've been exposed to lots of different things in this one life we have to live.
And do you think that the more transitions people experience, the easier it is for them to flex?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because they've had more experiences in life. They've exposed themselves to discomfort, shall we say. You know, to things that they didn't know, and they didn't know if they could handle. And, you know, we all want at least a modicum of control in our lives. And when we're exposed to people and situations that are new, we feel a loss of control. And that's probably the number one problem we have. And of all the shapes, I would counsel the box to put himself or herself in that position of loss of control, because it's then that we grow and we learn.
Yes, so through that period of discomfort, because we're not sure either about how we're feeling, what's expected in this new style that we're trying on. And so we need to give ourselves permission to explore.
That's very well said. We try on that new style as if it were new clothing. You know, I think I'm going to be squiggly at this party this weekend. I'm going to, you know, go out of my way, tell some jokes, you know. Walk around, kind of try, see if I can be the life of the party. I bet I can. And we try on new clothing. And that's so interesting and so fun. And then it's like we take a risk, like we bungee jump for that Saturday night at that party. And we come home, and maybe we didn't do it so well, but golly, at least we tried.
Yes, and it adds some variety to our lives, which squiggles know a whole lot about because they live in the world of variety and predictability. But some of us are a little less bold in the risk-taking arena than the squiggles are.
And yes, that's right. Squiggles are inherently adventuresome. I mean, they always seek the new, the unusual. That's part of who they are. I often joke with my audiences and tell them, you'll know a squiggle because she's been married 5 times. If not, she's had a dozen affairs. And if you want to hear about those, just ask a circle.
Yes, because they do know a lot. I am going to give my listeners the call-in number again. It's 347-215-8390. And invite them to call at any point during the show, and we'll be happy to take their questions. And then we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about, as you've worked with psychogeometrics in so many different cultures and countries, what are some of the trend in style that you've noticed in your travels?
Oh, Melanie, that's such a good question. I've spoken in now, I think, 26 countries, maybe 27. And at the, we've come out with a new edition of my book, Communicating Beyond Our Differences. And in it, it has, at the very end, an international guide. Like, when you're in England, make sure that you understand that the English culture is a box culture. There are rules, and this is the way we behave, and you don't move out of that box when you're in England. And is it probably the strongest box culture is in Singapore, for heaven's sake. I mean, you can't even spit your gum on the sidewalk or smoke a cigarette or do anything that in the public arena would cause some litter. It's just not done.
Oh, my. Well, that would be helpful to those people who travel or maybe are traveling for the first time to other countries to have an idea about some of those styles and trends.
Oh, but now if you're in Greece, oh, complete squiggle. You know, we expect you to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We expect you to be dancing. You've got to drink a lot. You've got to tell lots of jokes. I mean, we don't want you sitting in the corner. And the squiggles will pull you to them and demand that you behave that way.
Because that's just the way it's done.
That's the way the Mediterranean attitude is. And, of course, now, you know, we're generalizing, and there are certainly people of each shape in every country. But every country takes on a culture. You know, I often ask people, what is the shape of the United States of America? What do you think, Melanie?
Oh, if you just looking at all the media blitz that we have and all the attention on the glam and the glitz, I'm sure they would say squiggles.
They do. They do. Good for you. Everywhere. I mean, they all say, oh, America is squiggle. Plus, we're the inventors of the world. You know, we created the Internet and many, many things before that, for heaven's sake. And we're constantly trying new things, and we're very futuristic-oriented, which is a characteristic also of squiggles, so that we're constantly seeking the new. And it doesn't make us right and another culture wrong. It just tends to be what we are. Now, for example, in Germany, there are incredible triangles. I spoke in four cities in Germany, and I said I was so amazed. 90% of my audiences would be triangles. And I ended up in Frankfurt and said, are you really triangles? And they said, yes, we're triangles. Who would want to be anything but a triangle? Absolutely inconceivable to them. And you look at their history and you see the truth of that. And then you look at communities and states in the United States and see what the heritage is of these people. You know, are they primarily German? My family is Rausch, for heaven's sake. Talk about German, it means red and drunken. So we had incredible triangles in our family. And you look at your heritage and how that impacts on who you are. And that's a great deal of it. I mean, Florida is such a melting pot of so many cultures and different nations, and that's where I live. So we have to flex all the time.
That you would. And you just recently returned from a trip to Dubai. What interesting observations did you have during that trip?
You know, that was just such a wonderful experience. I was invited by the Ministry of Information in the state of Kuwait, and I had never been to the Middle East. I'd been many other places, but never there. And, of course, I was a little timorous because of the terrorist thing and what's going on, but my squiggle took the four and said, go. So I went. And, of course, I found what I find in any country I'm in. They're people. And they're all five shapes. And they're wonderful. And they have circles and squiggles and boxes and triangles and rectangles. And they love every bit of it. And probably if I were to characterize at least the people with whom I worked, I would say that their tradition is very important to them. Tradition. And so there's a lot of box behavior there. You know, they still wear the proper garb, and they still believe that this is the way one should behave. And they were not at all warlike, for heaven's sake. Our politicians and our media stir all that up. They were people. But they believed in the old ways. They also wanted to believe in the new ways and what was happening, and were just very curious about what was happening in America and what the people were like. You know, people really want to know what are people like, not what the politicians tell us they're like.
You know, I often think it's the circle in me, I think, it's the relationship-oriented, that, you know, if we really knew people in countries where we have a difference of philosophy or opinion, that we're not as different as the media and the politicians often make us out to be.
Absolutely not. You know, the goodness, you could draw parallels between our more traditional religions and theirs, that they have a different belief system than do we. I personally don't think it makes one right and the other wrong. It's merely the way they were raised, and how people are raised is very important. But they were loving. They were as loving as they could be. Complete circles. I mean, I cried when I left them, and so did they. It was very sad. And they're coming to see us in May, Melanie, when we have our retreat for psychogeometrics.
Oh, wonderful.
You're going to meet them, and you will love them.
That's an exciting part of working with the psychogeometrics team, is that there are consultants who facilitate psychogeometrics from around the world. So we get to experience that cultural diversity.
And each one is so different. And we'll have the fellow from Russia, and on the, what is it called, webcam, we'll have the fellow from New Zealand, who is just marvelous.
Wonderful.
And each of the consultants, and of course the Canadians and the Brits, each of the consultants has his or her own shape as well, regardless what country they live in.
Yes, and it's wonderful to really celebrate diversity as we work together.
Well, the wonderful thing is everyone is like you, Melanie. I mean, they're all caring people, and they want to help people, and that's the whole purpose of their life and their work. And if you can make a living, that's great, and that's wonderful, but your real purpose is to help people and to spark them to understand more about themselves and others.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to give that phone number again. We've got about 12 minutes left, and then I've got some other questions, as I said, that people have emailed that I'll share with you. That number to call is 347-215-8390 to ask Dr. Susan a question about psychogeometrics and communication.
Oh, please call. I'd love to take your question.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure how many live listeners we have tonight, and I invite them to call. And those who are listening that have logged in to chat, you are welcome to type your questions in, and I'll share those with Dr. Susan as well. So, Susan, one of the questions has to do with, it was from a woman who said, I've only been married a few months. I think I want a divorce.
Hmm.
And I think that her style, I think, is more the circle squiggle laid back style.
Mm-hmm.
And what she appreciated in the decisiveness about her spouse prior to
of course.
The marriage is now, you know, he's always pushing me to make decisions. He's demanding. And so any suggestions for what she has seen as a circle triangle or a circle?
Well, you know, Melanie, I never never respond to that kind of personal question, primarily because it goes a lot deeper than that. And I am not a psychologist, nor do I pretend to be. And I think that that would be the very best advice for someone. Divorce is a huge life change. And she is very courageous to take that posture. But to say whether she is right or wrong is not something within my purview. and someone professional should be doing that. I mean, I can talk generically about the difficulty of circles and squiggles dealing with boxes and triangles and would be glad to do so. But to tell this woman that's what she should do is not something I would do.
Right. Well, and thank you, because I told people I would ask the questions that they emailed. And so, and that may be for her a good starting place, is to look at style difference, look at what drew them together, and then to be able to communicate with that language of style.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, a good place to start would be my book.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the styles and read about them. And the book will explain couple behavior, relationships, the difficulties between the shapes, how to flex to those and how to resolve those conflicts. And that's, you know, that's a pretty complicated thing that I think in the privacy of one's living room with a book and a nice light in the evening would be a better way to learn about it.
That sounds good. Thank you. Another interesting question, since you created the model originally with five shapes, have you considered adding any others?
I'm sorry, I had a little trouble hearing that.
Oh, the question is, since you created the model of psychogeometrics with five shapes, have you considered adding any other shapes?
Oh, no, absolutely not. The four primary shapes I have learned, and I've learned this through the 40 years that I've been dealing with it, are the what is called universal shapes, the box, the triangle, the circle, and the squiggle. And they move through every culture, every moment of history. And, you know, we go from the Egyptian pyramid of the triangles, and, of course, in Mexico as well. We go into the beautiful Irish stones that are prehistory, that have the squiggles and the boxes on them to designate the calendar of the year, and also the birth and rebirth and life symbols. And the circle is, I mean, the circle is Sophia, the earth goddess, for heaven's sake, that began and ended in the planets and everything that has to do with metaphysics. I mean, these are very, very, these symbols, each of them carry very, very deep meaning. And there are books and books and books and books written about them. So those are the four primary symbols. And then I hit upon the rectangle for those people who did not feel that they were solidified in one of the primary shapes. And only 7% of people choose the rectangle. It's the transitional shape. And we often, as you know, use like a keyhole, as if there were a key to open a door, an ankh through which you pass in Egyptian philosophy. It is the movement, a tunnel from one shape to the next. And it is, of all the shapes at the end of my seminars, it will be the rectangles who come up and say to me, "You hit me between the eyes. Jeez, I am such a rectangle. Unbelievable."
Interesting, which leads me to, in my career and in using psychogeometrics, I have worked with two colleagues who, when given the assessment of shapes, have chosen the rectangle and have both commented that they don't see it as transitional, that they're very comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
And they easily flex.
Okay.
It is in marketing. And so, I've done it, you know, several times over years, and it's, oh, I'm a rectangle. That's just me.
Okay. And I think that there's a lot of truth to that. That there are people, I've often heard people say to me, "I'm kind of stuck in the rectangle. You know, I thought you said it was transitional. When do I get out of it?"
Mm-hmm.
And my response to those people is, you're probably an excellent flexor. You're so used to moving from the box to the triangle to the circle and the squiggle, because the rectangle is always the best flexor, that you're just an excellent flexor. Now, the other thing that can be true is that they are really primarily a squiggle. And they're choosing some of the left brain or the linear thinking modes in order to respond. And part of that is the culture in which they were born and raised. Most of us, particularly in the Midwest, are raised in a very linear culture. There's a right way, there's a wrong way, period. And I grew up in Indiana, and my friends from Iowa were very similar at Northwestern. They're a set of rules that you abide by. So that a squiggle who has that very strong young indoctrination will sometimes feel convoluted by that, because they're really a creative type, but they're trying to abide by the rules that they believe they should live their lives by. And often that positions them smack in the middle of the rectangle.
Well, that insight may be very helpful for those two gentlemen. I know one of whom listens pretty regularly, so I will shoot him an email saying check it out, because this may explain it for you. I do have a question that was typed in, and that question is, which is the most important shape?
Oh, golly, no. There is no one most important shape. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the triangle may feel he's the most important shape, but definitely there is no one most important shape. In fact, we would be in a terrible morass if we had only one shape that we all shared. I mean, the glory of psychogeometrics is the blending of all five shapes. That's the beauty of it. The fact that we each bring a different gift, and it's fragile, and we walk in with our circle, and we hope that it will be accepted. And of course it is, because we need each shape so desperately. When I talk to team leaders, I often tell them, look at the shapes you have now. And I'm thinking about my guys at FedEx. Look at the shapes you have now. What shape are you missing? Do you have any squiggles? Well, no, we don't. Well, how about a squiggle on your team? Because each one brings a special gift. The squiggle brings creativity. The circle brings communication. The circle is the catalyst on the team. The rectangle is the rookie, and we need some rookies, you know, to say, golly, why are we doing it this way? We ever think about doing it that way? We need some boxes to tell us what the rules are, and we need some triangles to finally make a decision. So we need all of the shapes. They are all so valuable.
Well, thank you. I hope that answered your question. And again, I would echo triangles will often think they're the most important shape, and boxes will often think if you just do it my way, we'd all get along so much better, because we'd be so much more organized.
So true.
And the circle is like, if we could just play nicely in the sandbox together, we'd get along much
better. Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's an interesting question. What shape do you think Barack Obama is?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I'm often asked by the media to analyze celebrities. I don't know enough about him, is the answer I can give. I really do not know enough about him. I'm pretty clear that Hillary is a box triangle, just because I think we know more about her. It seems to me that John McCain is very similar, box triangle. But Barack must have some squiggle, Melanie. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking so, as well as some circle, looking at things that he did early in his career.
Yeah, well, now, see, I don't know about that. But I know someone who talks about change would tend to be squiggle-oriented, and someone who talks about bringing people together would tend to be circle-oriented, so I think you must be right.
And you addressed, she also asked, or he, because I'm not sure if this person's male or female, you addressed Hillary and John McCain, and the last one was George W. Bush.
Oh, well, I think he's been a rectangle for 8 years. Sorry, you ask.
Well, no, and the last one is, do you have any thoughts about Bin Laden?
Oh, my. No, I don't. you know, I don't.
Yeah. I
know
really
you,
only have media information, so.
Yes, and that's all I would have. I know that his culture is very much a box culture, very much these are the rules and this is what you abide by. But to have taken up arms to defend that philosophy would mean that there must be a triangle there somewhere.
Yes. Well, and my clock is counting down now, so I want to say thank you, Susan, for being with us, and I hope you can come back sometime in the future and talk more about psychogeometrics or about your grandfather.
I would love to, Melanie. I love working with you, and you know that.
Well, thank you so much.
And your listeners are so lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. I think that you're right. I can say that because I get great feedback from my listeners. So thank you, Susan.
You're welcome, dear.
And have a great evening, and I will see you in May.
I'm hanging up now.
Thanks. Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.